Hi, welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host Vincent Sandee. First of all, let's apologize for this 1 hour delay. There is one fact, that here in Thailand, all over the world is the same, except for some countries, including Thailand. And the fact is that you have the the saving time, daily saving time, and daylight saving time, and we don't have it here in Thailand. For all the year, it's always the same time. The 4 for me now is the right time to have the show, but in truth, you were all waiting for the show. And I apologize for the few souls that are still online, on air, listening to this show now. Thank you very much. And for the few souls that are still online, I'm just going to give the number anyway. If you want to call and have a session with me online, just call, share opinions, share ideas. We can go through an analysis. I can take you through a journey. Whatever you want, whatever is your need, I'll be there to do the best I can to provide help. And the phones, the number that you have to call are for U.S. toll-free 877-876-5227. And again, U.S. toll-free 877-876-5227. Or for U.S. and Canada, you can call, always toll-free, 888-815-9756. Let me say that again, 888-815-9756. Or you can call the direct line, dialing the international code 5001, and then 530-876-3222, and at that point you can just talk online with me. Today's topic is the new you. In other words, how are you going to be the new you? That doesn't mean that you have to become somebody else. You are you only living at multidimensional level. You experience yourself most fully, and we're going to go through that. We're going to explore this topic, and I also want to touch the elements that we were talking about, like I think two radio shows ago, something like 2 episodes ago, that was the kind of episode that we got cut many times. So I want to go through that as well, only taking them from a different angle. But first of all, let me remind you that you can go to my website, which is www.joycelestial.com. And once you get there, just have a look at the website in general, but please sign up for your free account. This will give you access to a fantastic free material page, which will expand in time, and I promise this will happen for sure. Just have a little bit of patience, because I am only one person doing everything, so just a little bit of time and things will get, well, you will have more and more material there to go through. But still, if you now access, there's plenty of material that can keep you going for quite a long time. I mean, there are some free audios that you can listen to online, and there are 2 techniques that I teach on this free audio material that are incredible. First of all, get acquainted with the Hong Saw meditation technique, because this meditation technique is a symbolic it applies to the symbols of the universe as you relate to them. In other words, we have the law of duality in this world, day and night, good and bad, beautiful and ugly, tall and short, whatever it is, any quality. We live through opposites. This technique will bring you to a point where these 2 opposites will become in perfect balance. And by becoming in perfect balance, you will embrace the good part of yourself as well as the bad part without getting involved with any of these 2 parts. In other words, you will live yourself fully from a total state of awareness. And this is where yoga can bring you. Yoga means union. Union of the opposites, union of you and the universe, union of the microcosm and the macrocosm. And this is a technique which is incredibly simple, which is taught only before it was only taught to the disciple of a particular kind of spiritual path. You had to stay under a master, and then you could start meditating and learning techniques. Now it's widely available, but still the value is huge. If you start understanding the meaning of the technique behind the technique itself, at that point there's a big jump forward. I mean, you have to apply understanding of the intellect, of the mind, in order to really make a process, go through a process that will push you forward very much. Now, let me therefore explain very briefly what the meaning of this technique is about. And this meaning is better understood if you go to the free book excerpts on the free material section of my website, which is www.joycelaster.com. You sign up for your free account and you will have access to that. Free book excerpts. There is a chapter entitled Point Zero, Non-Duality. And there it explains all the opposite forces that are at play, that we go through, that we live during our daily lives, and at the same time, our ability to get free from these waving cycles of ups and downs that we go through every day. And once we get freedom from there, that does not mean that we take them out of our reality. That simply means that we are that we are the other thing, that we are also that other thing as well. And obviously, to the degree that you can experience this, the highest degree you can experience this, the more free you are. But the more you get acquainted, this is what I want to say, the more you practice something, the more you practice one technique, okay, one technique that will take you through that place of perfect balance, the more you do that, the more you will live from that place, and the more your ability to be free will increase, and the more free you will be, the more enlightened you will be. For example, if you have a cloth, okay, and you put it inside a colored water, and you put it out again, after some time under the sun, let's say, after some time the color will fade, but if you continue to put it inside that colored water, after some time, the color will stay there and it will not go away anymore. Or, because you're a human being and before you get to the point of total freedom, it might require some time for some people. For most people, it requires a lot of time. And I am in the process, you are in the process, but what I have experienced, it was so strong that I want to share these things with you. And the more you understand what is it that you're doing, the more you're able to get back to that point of balance more easily, effortlessly, without effort. And from that level on, then you can start moving on again. Isn't it an amazing thing? I mean, we have all the tools. And people say, well, if this is a natural state of my soul, why should I go through that? Simply because if you break your leg, you need to rest your leg to bring it back to a natural state. So you need to rest your mind to bring it back to a natural state. Or you have to do some physiotherapy and some particular exercises once the bones are put together in order to bring your leg to a natural state, isn't it? Therefore, if you are out of attunement with the divine, then you have to do something. A little technique, something small or something big. That depends on you, on your will, on your drive, whatever kind of temperament you might have. You have to do something that will bring you back in tune to your natural state. And the Hong Sao technique, which is explained there, there is a book excerpt where I both explained the meaning of duality that I was saying, that I was talking before, and then I explained the technique as well. The Hong Sao technique. But also on the audio section, there you go, there you have the technique, me explaining the technique with my own voice, before you can just close your eyes and absorb the information. And what I want to tell you, this technique are not guided journeys. Because what I think is that everybody should go through his own journey. You have to understand what the principle of the technique is about so that you can wear it on yourself experiment it by yourself without me telling you what you should experience or at that moment. You know what I mean? If the experience has to be authentic, there is nobody there to tell you, this is now what you see, this is now what you're going through. I mean, if you want to have an authentic moment of enlightenment, an authentic enlightened moment, or if you want to go from where you are to that point, you have to go through your own individual road, which will unfold naturally as you go through the process. Therefore, all those techniques that I explained there are not really guided processes. You go there, you listen to my voice, I will guide you a little bit through the technique, but at the same time, you will see that it's not a totally guided process. I will explain you maybe sometimes someone will tell you, you can do this until you feel that. For example, you can do until, for example, there are three phases in the Hong Sao technique. One is that you have to look up, and please go to the website and listen. Listen, it's really important because you can listen to it as many times as you like so that you can really be sure that you're absorbing what you're having. Now, you look up. This is the first point. You look, close your eyes, obviously, and then you look up at the point between the eyebrows. Or if it's too difficult for you that is who are beginning, whatever, just look up at a distance. Imagine that you're penetrating a point, looking far away at a distance, maybe at the top of a mountain. Maybe you can visualize a sun rising there or an expanding light at that top. Having the gaze directed upward will allow you to go into this state of mind, which is called super consciousness. Now, I want to talk about, as I talked already about many times in my episodes on this radio show, there are three levels of consciousness, mainly. One is the conscious, then the subconscious, then the super conscious. I want to say a little bit more about that from a different angle, from a slightly different angle that I usually talk about this. So, but anyway, let's just wait for a moment. There are three phases on the Hong Sao technique. The first one, you look up at the distance. Then, once you are sure about that point, then at that point, you start observing your breath from there. And once you are there, actually, and looking up, you will see that the thoughts are not present anymore. And people get scared. Oh, my God, I'm not thinking. So what? That's great. You're free from thought. That doesn't mean that you're not going to think anymore. You know, that means that probably maybe if you have a thought that is redundant, you just get a little bit of rest from it and you stay there from a state of pure awareness. And that's great. So from that level, you start observing your breath, and you can start observing your breath only from that level effectively, because otherwise you identify with your breath, which is a symbol for the cycles of life. As you breathe in is one cycle, and as you breathe out is the other cycle. The opposites are present within yourself, and I explained that in that book excerpt, which is really important to go and read. Another thing, then once you have these two factors together, once you have your gaze up, looking at the distance, and then you are totally centered and observing the breath from that state of awareness, then you add the sound hong as you breathe in and saw as you breathe out. Hong saw. And if there is no breath for any reason, naturally, if it comes naturally an experience where there is no breath, then there are no sounds. In that moment, there is just awareness, aliveness. Okay, so you see, once I have my recorded audio where I explain this technique, I cannot tell when that person is really able to look up without problems and relax in that awareness, so that he can go to the second phase, which is observing the breath from there. Every person has to go through that journey, even though the steps are similar, every person has to go through those steps at their own pace. Therefore, what is my real need, this is what is my desire is also, is to give you the tool that you can use for yourself and to go through that journey yourself. So when I explain this technique, for example, on the website, you will see that it's just a couple of minutes. But maybe you can meditate for 30 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 hour, 3 hours, doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Why should you stop meditation if you're really enjoying it, if you're an expert meditator, after 20 minutes of a guided process? Maybe you could go through for a longer time. Maybe you can even meditate all night. Maybe you can even go into awareness and forget about your reality for a tiny bit. Or why do I have to take you through a process of 20 minutes when for you 1 minute is enough? So learn the technique, which is really important. Another thing that is important in meditation, is that there are two things to consider. One is the meditation technique, and the other is the meditative state. A meditation technique, as I explained before, is there because through that technique, you can get to your own natural state. Okay? And many people do this mistake. They do the technique a lot. Then when it's time to go, they cut it out and they go. And it's like cooking a great, delicious food and then throwing it on the floor. No. You have to, if you have 10 minutes time, you have to do maybe 5 or 6 minute meditation technique and then end the technique and stay in silence so that you can absorb whatever good this technique is bringing. And after that, maybe you can also go into a state of perfect awareness, into the meditative state where you experience yourself as you really are supposed to be. And this is the new you. The new you is no one different than you yourself living a multi-dimensions. And what are these multi-dimensions? Well, that depends on the philosophy you're coming from. Honestly, if you come from the Kabbalah, then you know there are 10 Sephiroth. Okay, there are 10 stages, 10 symbolic phases, which are great to know, and they are symbolic. Or in yoga, you can go through the 7 chakras, and you experience different kind of parts of creation through the chakras that relates to the elements of creation. So in other words, you are present in water, you're present in fire, you're present in earth, and those are all multidimensional aspects. And I'm not talking about the material earth in this world. I'm not talking about the water that we find here when we open the sink. I'm talking about elements, elemental aspects of creation, the essence. So each one of these elements is a dimension in itself. And once you experience yourself fully, you're a master of all of them. You have experienced a true journey of awareness. You become wise. This is what I would like to take you through today, through this journey, and to explore a little more. But before we move on, what I think it is really important for this world today is that people would start, all of us, me, you, my father, my mother, my sister, my friends, everyone I meet. It is really important that we start communicating somehow with the divine, with the divine. We have to know how to communicate directly with the divine, to speak a language that is of the soul and being able to translate it into our own language. That is of extreme importance. That's why on the free section of my website, I give, first of all, the Hong Shou technique to get you out of your cycle and bring you back into great awareness. And second, there is a technique that will teach you how to communicate with the divine through a language of the soul. And there are many paths today that are you could explore. So many, everything is so widely available through the internet, to many people, through courses, through books, whatever. There is a tendency, anyway, to go through in a little bit of a simplistic way. There are many things that it will take you through psychic abilities, and which is great. I love it, and it's fantastic because we are much more than we think. Why should we use only our 5 physical senses? But this technique that I'm going to teach you there, at some point, and it's free on the website, just go there, I think is entitled Opening the Heart Center and the Spiritual Eye for Divine Communication, or something similar. This technique, at some point, will make you able to communicate with the life around you without you stepping out of yourself. You will feel yourself stepping into a whole new life, into a whole new dimension, the more you do it. And this technique can be done after any effective meditation technique. Therefore, let's say if you are already in the Buddhist path, which is an amazing path, which I really love, you have your own meditation practices, then do this technique after those, and you will see where it takes you. And also, you can do the Hong Sao technique, which I have explained, that will take you out of your little reality to come back to a state of awareness, and then from there, use the other technique for divine communication, where you will access the language of the soul. And here then too, I will not take you through a process. I mean, I take you through a process a little bit, but then sometimes I say, you should repeat this process until you really feel these 2 points opening. Because we don't want to fool ourselves, right? We don't want to fool ourselves. Go through the steps. Go through the steps. Once you get a feeling there, then you go to the next one. Otherwise, you just go there and you don't get anything. You just go into your imagination, which is a great thing. You can use imagination for many things, which is amazing. Also for manifesting great new realities. If you are able to bring through willpower that imagination to the here and now and to the material section of your life, which is great. But you don't want to make up things. You want to experience what is real, what is true, and stay connected with that divine or real. Otherwise, there's a lot of intellectual speculation that we could go through, and it is better to avoid that intellectual speculation. Saying that, if you feel a need to go through an intellectual process to improve a habit or whatever, then of course there are many, plenty of techniques that you can go to look and search and practice for yourself. But here we're experiencing something that is not just related to the little reality as we have seen it up until now. We are seeing how we can communicate with the divine. And as you know, when you communicate to another person that you never saw before, their person will tell you about themselves, about himself. He will tell you in a way that maybe you wouldn't expect, because they're living a totally different reality than yours. Therefore, you expand your consciousness, you expand your mind through communication and through relationship, which is great. So when you communicate with the divine, you don't want to speak alone. You want the divine to talk back to you in a way that you wouldn't expect, in a way where the divine can also tell you thoughts that you never thought before. It can guide you through the life, towards the life you always wanted. And let me tell you one thing. The life you always wanted is not the life you think you want. The life you always wanted is the life that gives you incredible love, incredible joy, incredible satisfaction, incredible peace. You will find yourself complete in every aspect of your being. And that's the life that you really want. And if you connect with the divine, you will get to the life you really want. And that's the only way I think you can really get to the life you really want. And yes, you can set goals, but do that after you communicate with the divine. Even if the goal you want to set is to learn this technique, it's great. Fantastic. I'm not saying that you shouldn't set any goal. Please try to understand. What I'm trying to say is, get to the life you really want through an real communication with you, your spirit, your soul, with the divine, so that you know what you're going through, you know what is happening in your life, you know, and even if you don't know, that means that you're still communicating with the divine, you're going towards the best possible life you might ever had. Is that clear? In other words, don't set too many goals at the beginning, and in order to stay, to, you know, to stick to them until you die. Because if you don't have a consciousness that is in connection with the divine, what will happen is that you will force yourself into a smaller reality, into a smaller you. And what you want to do is to get out of that, to live the new you, which is not the real new you, is the old you that has always been present all the time, since eternity, that is old as God. That's the new you you want to live. So now, what I found really interesting anyway, especially in the yoga tradition, that's why I love yoga, because it gives methodologies. It tells you how to get things. Even the philosophy in yoga, as I told you many times, is not a philosophy. It is a way of living. It comes from realization. And I know that I repeat myself. I think it's important, you know, when it comes out. Sometimes you have to repeat yourself. And Indians repeat themselves all the time, the enlightened beings. They repeat themselves because they say blah, 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 blah. And I tell you again, because that will fit deep into your subconscious. Now, I promised that we were going to talk. I was going to talk about the three levels. I want to tell you that these three levels are not separated. They're all the same thing, only your mind is working at different frequencies, different vibrations. Let's say, it is also being proved, it has also been proved scientifically, that the brain, okay, works at 20 cycles in doing more activities per second. And this is something that the great Jose Silva explored very deeply and very interestingly. And he could discover a scientific method to bring people in connection with the divine and live with their own life purpose. Therefore, I highly recommend to go and listen to what he had to say, to join one of his courses. What he did is he saw that during the brain activity of normal activity with your eyes open, you had cycles of the brain running at 20 cycles per second. If you close your eyes, you were able to go into the alpha level of the brain, which is called alpha level. If you close your eyes, you would relax the mind and the body and go deep down, a little bit deeper into yourself. Then your brain would work at 10 cycles per second. And that is called the alpha level. At that level, one is able to see a big picture. One is able to know intuitively, around that cycle, let's say, around those frequencies. It might not be so precise, obviously, but around those frequencies, one is able to know answers. And even beyond that, you stop wanting to find answers. You go to 5 cycles per second, which is the theta level of the brain, and you just relax into your awareness. Now, if you really look at that, we are talking about cycles of the brain, frequencies, vibrations, or however you want to call it. There are so many terms that you could use. New ages use different terms. Yoga uses different terms. Everyone uses different terms. What is important is that we're talking about always the same thing. We should focus on what we have in common instead of what is the difference between each one of these things, okay? So, what I want to specify over here, that when it is 20 cycles per second, your brain is working 20 cycles per second, that is the conscious sphere. When it works down at 10 cycles per second, more or less, you always start to go a little bit more down into the subconscious sphere. And the subconscious sphere is a sphere somehow where your mind and your brain connects to a wider range of perceptions. And it is always the same mind, only working at a different level. Also, if you go even deeper, then you go to a point. If you can't stay awake there more and more, then you go to a point. When you're living at a bigger level, not just the subconscious, but the superconscious, that means that your mind at that point works at a perceptive level that is not only of the activity, that is not only the subconscious perceptive sphere, but it's also at a universal level, even more. And after that, you find your way back to the source, from where you have the maximum ability of perception, before you become enlightened. And yes, there are many ways that you can go through all these processes. And what I tell you, what I would love to tell you is that, first of all, yoga is a science. Second, spirituality is a science. Third, science is not something called real science. It has to do not just with the physical. It has to do with something that can be proven. It can be experimented. It can give results. And here, we expand our perception of science to a point where it doesn't have to do with a mathematical fact. It has to do also with the personality. Okay? It has to do not just with the personality, with the sense of reciprocity between you and the divine, and also mechanism, universal laws that are operating anyway, no matter if you agree or not. So there are all these factors together that create only one big science, and this is where yoga comes into play, union of all these things. Now, when we talk about the science of yoga, because it relates not only to the metaphysical laws, the universal laws that are operating within you, and let me remind you that yoga is not just the hatha yoga, the physical part of yoga. We talk about the yoga that is actually the ability to control the mind for yourself, the ability to give you that part, you know, part of yourself that gives you the ability to control the mind, be in control of yourself, be in control of the body. And from there, we are talking, okay? So here we go. Yoga, it is not just about, therefore, the anatomy, subtle anatomy, astral chakras, or the anatomy of the body when you do the postures. It is about all these things, all the universal laws operating in these things, but also on characteristics, on qualities that you have to develop. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a chapter that talks about the divine qualities of a divine man. What qualities that man might have? And here, you know, we go beyond the talk of the chakras, as we are usually used to. They're not just centers of energy, they're centers of characteristics. So, for example, we have 7 chakras in our system. What is a chakra? First of all, a chakra, as we all know probably today, because now there's such a diffused concept about this chakra, which is great, and I'd really love the fact that it's so spread out, fantastic. Now, what are chakras? Chakras are centers of energy. In other words, as we have our own nervous system, there is a counterpart in our energetic body. You cannot just say that you're just the body, because you have emotions, you have ideas, you have feelings, you understand things. Therefore, you have something more than just the body. You have something more. What are chakras? Chakras are where circles of energy, where more of these energetic lines of the body meet. In other words, as we have our nervous system in our physical body, we also have the counterpart in the energetic body. And imagine just a great metropolitan sort of lines system in London. Okay, imagine when there are 2, 3, 4, 5 lines meeting all at one station, that station becomes important. So this is the same for the chakra. When all these energetic lines within ourselves meet at one point, they create an important center. That important center is a chakra. Therefore, we have different kinds of centers, and the main ones, the big ones, are seven. And these seven chakras are not symbolic, like, for example, in the Kabbalah. They are actual energy centers. They interact from the mind to the body, from the energetic astral world to the physical world, and vice versa, from the physical world to the astral. That's why doing yoga postures can give you a higher state of awareness, because you start with the physical and you work on the chakras and the alignment of the lines. Once you're aligned, you create the bridge, you clean the bridge from this physical world to the astral, and then you create an overall balance of all your system. Or the opposite is also true. Therefore, you can start with an energetic kind of feeling and will power to act on that energetic level. Then you go into the posture and you balance it anyway. Only if you do the reverse process, and this is what mind-shifting yoga is about, you can also use yoga postures and certain kinds of sequences to bring to operate on the physical level. In other words, your reality will change through certain yoga postures. If you go to my website and you go to workshops, you go first of all to experience, then there is workshop, then you will see there that I've explored this concept in a type of yoga called mind-shifting yoga, which is nothing, it's not a new type of yoga. It's only approaching yoga from the other level, as well as the physical level. Now, the chakras, said, are seven, and for most people, anyway, it's really hard to start working with them, because starting to feel them, starting to understand them, you really have to do a lot of work. And the easiest way to start working with the chakras is to understand what qualities and characteristics they are bringing about. In other words, the first chakra is related to Saturn, which is your limitation, but also your stability and discipline. It is related to the earth element, which is absolutely being stable. Therefore, if a person has the chakra balanced, the earth chakra, the base of the spine, in Hindu, in yoga, it's called Muladhara. If you have that balance, that means this person is self-disciplined, totally grounded and practical. At the same time, we are talking about a balanced chakra, okay? At the same time, he's loyal to himself. He's loyal to his maybe family or group of people. He's loyal to his path. He has faith in what he's doing, and he will continue to do it until he will get results. And obviously, the earth element is a great element to have, and the first one that we should focus on in order to move on in our lives. But if somebody has this chakra unbalanced, that means where the energies there are not flowing harmoniously, what will happen is that this person will be stubborn, will never change his mind, no matter what evidence you provide, will never change his mind. He will fall into depression because he will feel so limited by the reality he has that he will feel stuck. He feel that he could not do anything to move out of that situation. So these are all things that tells us that the earth element is totally unbalanced. Or a person that does not want to move from his reality. Or a person that is totally too lazy that he could not do anything, too much, not to see possibilities in life, not to take action upon anything. It has the earth element imbalanced. But a person who has the earth element balanced, he emanates presence. He knows where to put his feet on. He is loyal to his path. He has faith. And once you have these things, and practicality, once you have these things, discipline, whatever I said before, then you can move on harmoniously to the second chakra, which in the Hindu yoga tradition is called Swadhisthana. Swadhisthana is the water element, is related to the water element, to the planet Jupiter. Once you have that stability and self-discipline, once you work about that, once you're balanced on that. In fact, the balancing postures for excellence, per excellence, are all in relation to the earth element. Because to be balanced, you need to be grounded. And of course, there is an amount of willpower depending on the posture of the other yoga posture that you're doing, but mainly is the earth element that you're fixing for sure. Then after you have that, then you move on into the water element. And the water element, we also have to remember that it's a symbolic element. It's not the sink. It's not the water that comes out from the sink. It's not a lake. It's not the sea. It is a symbol. And that's the symbol of being flowing with life, fluidity, adjustment, ability to go, let life lead you where it is supposed to lead you, without you trying to direct the flow. The universe knows where to go, where to bring you. And you cannot live fully the water element unless you are stable in yourself. Otherwise, you would get, and this is when the water element, before it becomes imbalanced, this is where you feel totally lost. You don't know where to go. Okay? Also, you become wishy-washy, because without earth element, you become too flowing. You jump from one thing to another without getting anything done, right? So, before getting into the water element, you should fix the earth element, and then from that part within yourself, you can move through life. You can adapt to anything. You can flow. You can also melt away your limitation. You can see new opportunities and appreciate the beauty of it. Once you do that, you also start to understand the beauty of life. You're not stuck anymore into only one reality. You start appreciating life on a wider level. You appreciate, once you are stable in yourself, you have faith in yourself, you're loyal to your path, you can appreciate through the senses, this world, that becomes sensuality. And I'm not talking about sexuality. I'm talking about sensuality, living life fully through the senses in a healthy way. Once that happens, when these two elements are balanced, when these two chakras are flowing harmoniously, all the energies through these chakras, all the trains going to those two important stations are working nicely, what will happen is then, at that point, once you have evaluated opportunities, you've seen the beauty of life, you have adjusted, even though you have not lost your personality, your morality, your integrity, because the earth element is balanced as well, then at that point, the fire element comes into play. And here we talk about the third chakra around the solar plexus area, which is called Manipura chakra in the Hindu yoga tradition. It's usually related to the Mars planet. And obviously, the fire is the element. Now, through that element, what you can do is to be able to direct energy, willpower. Once you know, once you evaluated opportunities, once you have adjusted yourself to new reality, then you put willpower to accomplish. You put willpower to accomplish. You put willpower to move, your ability to direct the energy, and at the same time, the ability to understand the energy which is around you, how to manipulate, how to maneuver that energy, how to use that energy for your own good, for the good of other people, for yourself, in a stable way, at the same time not while being stuck only one thing, at the same time being open enough to new possibility, new direction. I mean, if you want to be, for example, a successful businessman, right, you have to understand the trend. You have to understand how. You say you have a talent. You have a talent that you want to share with people. This is great. You have to understand how you can share this talent with people in a way that they might appreciate it. And that requires a balanced water element. Okay? But the recognition of your talents comes from the earth element. being loyal to yourself, be true to yourself. And then you have to apply energy, understanding what energies are around you and direct them. That comes from the third chakra. And again, once you go through that, if somebody has this chakra imbalance, the energy goes randomly. You waste your energy, or you become extremely violent, or you don't have energy at all, or you become extremely violent, harsh. And people can stay around you, because after some time, they cannot stand you anymore, because there's always this huge conflict going on. The fire is imbalanced, and when that happens, that means that you have lots of anger, dark spots, that is residing there since a long time maybe, but you can't solve them out once you find stability in life, once you open yourself to new opportunities, once you understand that life will take you where you're supposed to go without you losing your character, personalities, personality, talent, same time expanding and relaxing, letting go, and being able to use your talent as it is required to. This is wisdom coming from the fire element. Let me drink something. Then, once we finish that, once you have balanced the fire element, at that point, you're able also to make a purification of yourself. Because, if you direct your energy in one direction, focus, concentration, willpower, obviously, whatever else fades away. Therefore, you have purified yourself of all that is not necessary. That is the Shiva God in the Hindu tradition. The purifying fire, the ritual, the fire ceremony in Hinduism. This is it. That does not mean that you have to burn away your life. It means that because you direct your energy towards one point, you make the sacrifice to not direct the energy towards a million of other things. That's quite an easy concept. You see, so you see, you can understand in your life what are the imbalances of each chakra. And once you understand how to balance these chakras, you're starting to balancing your life, leaving yourself at a multidimensional level. How to do that? You should go through meditation and get in tune with the essence of the element, experience it in your body, mind, and soul. And maybe we're going to do that some other time. We don't have the time today, but I would like to take you through a journey, gradual journey, or maybe I will put something on my website for free about the elements, going through that journey, because I think it's one of the greatest things you could do to really experiment the elements. It will give you the power to take charge of your life at 90%, because then, let's say the 10%, we always have to leave it a little bit on the side, because we cannot consider everything, but still, we'll give you a lot of advantage, let's say, really great advantage. Then, we have the air element, which is at the heart center, the heart chakra, located around the area of the heart. And in the Hindu, that is called Anahata. And it is related to Venus planet, planet Venus. And this chakra is about, I will tell you just what it is about. It's about compassion, which is being able to empathize or sympathize with people. At the same time, having a desire to do something, to help them. When that happens, that is a sign of compassion, and that is in relation to the balanced air element of the heart chakra. Another thing is being able to get along with people. Let's say, everything, to understand what the air element is about in the heart chakra, you have to understand which process you've been going through. So you have balanced yourself, you're loyal to yourself. Once you are able to accomplish something through the direction of willpower, at that point, once you have accomplished something, there is a sense of release. That sense of release comes with a sense of freedom, like, I have accomplished, now I can just let go. And at that moment, you're open to people. At that moment, you start loving people for what they are, because you have accomplished. What is it? What has been yours? What you wanted, you had it. Therefore, now you can let go. Now you can listen to them. Now you can participate in their lives. Now you can understand what they're going through. Honestly. And maybe you can do something to help them. Isn't it? This is the heart chakra. It comes as a perfect conclusion of the fire element as a consequence. Therefore, at that point, you start getting along with people because you don't have anything that you want from them or you don't have jealousies. You don't have it. You're already accomplished. Now, what I want to say about this point, which is an important point, because in most religions, people talk a lot about focusing on the heart. Now, what is the thing that is behind this concept? Great saints of all religions, they have known to have a great heart, open heart. Now, why? That's the point where they start. The first three chakras, the earth, water, and fire chakra, are three first chakras that have to do with how we deal with life. From the heart chakra up, we start again on how we deal with our highest self, okay? Most people, great saints, people who are very spiritually inclined, or people who are spiritual naturally, they start from the heart level because within themselves, consciously or subconsciously or maybe unconsciously, whatever term you want to use, they know that there's nothing to accomplish. They say, okay, people want these things in life, people want that thing, people want another thing, but who starts from the heart? Look at Mother Teresa. She did a lot of work, but she knew she didn't have any particular selfish desire. Her own desire was the desire to help these people, being compassionate about them, understanding, empathizing, sympathizing with them, and having a true, genuine desire to help that situation. Because they realized there's nothing to accomplish in this world, because this is what most people go through. First of all, you have to leave your dream. So that once you lived your dream and accomplished it, then at that point you can give it up and live the biggest dream. And this is a long process that goes through many lives if you believe in reincarnation. But this process has to do with three chakras. And then at some point, once you have accomplished what you have to accomplish, at that point you become really, truly compassionate. And you can understand what compassion is about, really. And you start living by understanding that there's nothing to accomplish on this earth level, earthly level, worldly level, let's say, except that they could give you the tools to rise up to the highest experiences, the highest chakra. So once that happens, you have the sense of total freedom, of release. And at the same time, because you have nothing to hold on into your mind so strongly anymore, you can't relate to other people's realities and try to do something about it. And after that, then we have the throat chakra. The throat chakra is at the throat level, and it's called Vishuddha in the yoga tradition, and it is related to the Mercury planet, to the planet Mercury. Now, If we go through this process we're going through now, this is quite unusual. Not all people go through this process we're going through now when they explain chakra. But if you go through this journey, you really experience the elements in their pure essence, and you will really understand what is the path you're going through. Now here we go to an element that is beyond the known elements of creation, because we had earth, water, fire, and air. Then we go into the throat, but we have something that is beyond the four common elements. We have the ether. The ether is a subtle part of the universe that flows through everything. Ideas are in the ether, emotions and energies are in the ether. This is like a tool for creation to revitalize and to make us experience deeply from the inside. In other words, after the heart element, you don't sympathize with them. You don't have separation between you and somebody else. You flow through yourself to another one. There is energies flowing all around. In that moment, it's like one energy in its essence, assuming different qualities. I don't want to say shapes or form, because it's not like that. Shapes or form are finished at this point. They assume qualities. They assume like smoky quality. In fact, some people during meditation experience the chakra as a smoky quality. They see some smokes and some sparkles over there. And this is what Yogananda used to say. It's what, when you see the chakra, you shoot the chakra, you will visualize it as smoky with sparkle, because that's the ether element. It doesn't have a shape. It goes through things and it colors them. It gives them color. And this is much more than compassion. When you see that spiritually, you go through a process where you understand things from the inside. You are the color itself, the color of things. And once you balance this element as well, of course, you cannot balance this element if you feel yourself separated, if you're too attached of your form. And this is the Vishuddha chakra. This is where you can start connecting with the Om. She is the cosmic vibration that permeates everything. And then you go up into the point between the eyebrows where you have the Ajna chakra, which is much more than that. Then from the Ajna chakra, you have the ability to command creation. At this point, you become a full creator of your reality and of their reality. Here we're talking about highest level of consciousness. It's not just clairvoyance. It's not just minor abilities. It is about creating. This is good. People are going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's about the ability to create worlds and solar systems. This is what Yogananda used to say. You become a superhuman being from the Ajna chakra when it's fully activated, when it's totally balanced, when you're going through this total extreme interesting process also. You get there, you have the ability to create fully the world, life, and you will not do anything against the universe, because at that point, you are not there. Of course, you are there existing, but you're not there with your identification at all. You become what it is that is that energy, and that happens already from the chakra before. And in fact, this chakra can be fully activated only when you pass from the moon center, which is the negative pole of the chakra, the point between the eyebrows. In other words, once you go through the throat chakra, which is the ether element, which go through all things, you don't identify with a form, then you go through the moon, the energy goes up to the Ajna chakra, the point between the eyebrows. This chakra has two sides. One is the solar side, which represents the spirit, and the first thing that you have to go through anyway is the negative side of the same chakra, which is the moon element that represents the ego. You cannot activate the solar unless you sacrifice the moon into the sun. And this is where all the mythology, symbolism of yoga comes. For example, if you see Shiva, the Shiva god in Hinduism has a moon on the forehead, because Shiva, being a supreme being, has brought that moon into the sun. Therefore, it has passed the point when there is still his own ego or attachment or selfish motive, and he becomes a god at that point. Now, in the yoga tradition, actually, Well, to get to this point, then the Sahasra chakra gets naturally activated and gets you in touch, become with the divine. Obviously, the Sahasra chakra is always active because there's a connection with you and the divine, always. But it cannot be activated unless you get the moon, negative pole of the Ajna chakra, the palm between the eyebrows, into the sun in front. Once you're there, you get into the Christ consciousness. So you see, here we have the symbols within ourselves of the Holy Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at the throat chakra. You get in touch with the Om, which is related to the Holy Spirit. Then you get up, and once you sacrifice everything to the sun center, including the negative pole of the Ajna chakra, then you get in touch with the Christ consciousness. Once Christ consciousness is activated, then a channel opens up to the real Sahasra chakra, and then you get to the God consciousness. And with this concept, I'm going to leave you today. Thank you for the beautiful souls that have been listening to this radio. Please, you can write me an email. Just go to joycelestial.com, go to the contact page and write me an email. I'll be happy to reply, whatever you want to ask. Joycelestial.com. As I told you at the beginning, please sign up for your free material account. It's free. Sign up. And I'll talk to you next week, this time the correct time. So it will not be at this time. It will be 1 hour before. It will be 10 p.m. U.S. time. Okay? Los Angeles time. It will be there at the correct time. I will take that into my account. And thank you for listening. Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincent Sandeep. See you next Saturday. Bye.